today I'd like to share with you the most profound teaching of the Buddha, Abhidharma. As you know, Buddha's teaching consists of three baskets. Number one is Vinaya, we call Tipitaka. Number one is Vinaya Pitaka. The teaching concerns the rules of monks and nuns. Number two is Sutta Pitaka. The teaching of the Buddha according to Sutta. The Buddha expounds his teaching to individuals, to monks, to nuns, and to lay person. It's called Sutta Pitaka. And in Sutta Pitaka, most of the time, Buddha used conventional truth, like you, me, I, you and I, he or she, and so on. And the last one is called Abhidhamma Pitaka. Abhidhamma, what's the meaning of Abhi? Abhi means higher, higher teaching. Dhamma means teaching or ultimate truth. So Abhidhamma means higher teaching of ultimate truth. So since it's ultimate truth, it does not deal with a person, a being, he or she. He investigates this teaching, try to penetrate individual into its minute details. Or another word, using conventional truth, Buddha penetrate into ultimate truth. So the Abhidhamma teaching is merely concerned with ultimate truth. And in Abhidhamma, there are four ultimate truths. Number one is matter, rupa, or called materiality, rupa. Number two is, let me start with consciousness. Number one is consciousness, citta. Number two is mental factors. Mental factors must arise together with consciousness. Number three is matter, materiality. We call rupa. Citta, cittasika, rupa. And these three, consciousness, mental factor, and matter, these three are called conditioned dharma. They are produced by causes. Therefore, they are subject to impermanence, suffering, and non-self. However, the last ultimate truth is Nibbana. Nibbana is unconditioned. Therefore, it's called unconditioned dharma. Since it's unconditioned or it's not produced by causes, therefore, Nibbana is permanent, happiness, and not self, not the self. So today, and in Abhidhamma, we have nine chapters. In fact, Abhidhamma have seven books, but we have the summary of these seven books. We call the manual of Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma Tat Sangaha, or the door to Abhidhamma Pitaka. So this Abhidhamma Tat Sangaha is the summary of seven books of Abhidhamma. And this Abhidhamma Tat Sangaha has nine chapters. But today, I would like to start with chapter four. Chapter four, cognitive process, we call Vichi. Pali you call Vichi. This cognitive process talk about how consciousness operates. Consciousness operates in two ways. Number one, cognitive process. And number two, process freed. And under cognitive process, we have two types of cognitive process. Number one is five door, our eye door, ear door, nose door, tongue door, and body door. It's called five doors. So consciousness can operate according to eye door when we see something, or according to ear door when we hear something, and so on. But after the eye sees something, in order to see clearly what is this object, we have to go through mind door. Just eye door, we cannot see the complete form of that visible object. Therefore, after five door, or after each door, mind door, cognitive process will follow. And another one is called process and freed. Cognitive process are very active process because it involves our emotions. It involves our reactions, our likes and dislikes. However, process freed is very passive type of process. And process free, since it's very passive type of process, it does not involve karma energy. It does not bring forth karmic energy. It does not create karma. But cognitive process create or involve or bring forth a lot of our actions, which is karma in terms of Buddha's teaching. So what is this vitti, cognitive process, vitti? When citta means consciousness, in Pali we call citta. When citta arises, cognizing an object at the sense doors or the mind door, they do not occur at random, but in the series of discrete cognitive events, leading one to the other in a uniform order. You may not understand what it means, right? But as I go on, I will make it clear to you. So what is important here is it occurs in a uniform order, not random. Okay. Okay, before we see each cognitive process, let us understand what's bhavanga first. So, because I changed my computer, the Pali word does not appear here correctly. Bhavanga, Bhavanga, bhavanga. Bhavanga is very mysterious. Many people don't understand what is bhavanga. In Chinese, we call yufen, yufen shi. Bhavanga is a compound word. It consists of two words. Number one is called bhava. Number two is called anga. Therefore, bhavanga. What is the meaning of bhava? Existence. Anga, factor or cause. So bhavanga means the factor or cause of existence. Without Bhavanga, the life cannot be continuous, flowing. So Bhavanga maintain or preserve the continuity of consciousness. And continuity of consciousness is what we call life. So without this factor, of existence, the life cannot continue. Therefore, Bhavanga is called the factor of existence. Let me give you an example. So from rebirth to death is called one lifetime. All this wave is called cognitive process. It can be eye door, mind door, ear door, and so on. And since this cognitive process involves our emotions, our reactions, therefore it is very active up and down. Sometimes anger, sometimes compassion, sometimes greed, sometimes loving kindness. Therefore, all this emotion shows that vitti is very active form of consciousness. But when the vitti of cognitive process come to cessation, everything arise must pass away finally, right? So when cognitive process arise and pass away, before another cognitive process arise, we must have something in between in order to preserve the continuity of consciousness. So what are they? What in between that preserve the continuity of consciousness? So in between cognitive processes, the mental stream cannot stop. Meaning from here to here, there should not have any gap. So what maintains the continuity of consciousness? That is Bhavanga. Bhavanga maintain or preserve the continuity of consciousness. Therefore, Bhavanga is called factor of existence. And it is very passive type of consciousness. It does not go up, does not go up and down like active consciousness. So now can you understand what is Bhavanga? Okay. So we have five types of sense door cognitive processes: eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. Let me give you an example. So when you see this lotus flower, what type of consciousness, what type of cognitive process arises in your mind? Eye, yes, right. So eye door cognitive process will arise in your mind in order to apprehend what is this object, right? First, you didn't see the lotus at all. You only see color only. After going through many type of cognitive process, only lotus flower appear in your mind. But now it seems that the moment you see this lotus flowers, the moment you see it, you know it is lotus flower, right? It almost immediately you know it. That is because the mind is so fast. It's so fast, you don't even know. Many thought process has arise and passed away. Okay, now let us investigate what is this eye door cognitive process. For the five door cognitive process, we have 17 mind moment. Every door, each door, five door cognitive process involve or consist of 17 mind moment. So one circle represent one mind moment or one type of consciousness. We call citta kana. So number one, we call past bhavanga. What it means? One bhavanga passes away. Before a visible object impinges our eye sensitivity, the mind is in bhavanga state. Now, the visible object has impinged eye sensitivity, one bhavanga passes away. Therefore, it is called past bhavanga. So this bhavanga arises and passes away already. The mind, consciousness is arising, passing away, arising, passing away, arising, passing away, arising, passing away. It's not stable. It's not permanent. So it takes me a lot of time to create this PowerPoint in order to show you that past bhavanga has disappeared. Okay. Next one. Next consciousness arise. It's called vibrating bhavanga. Because of the impingement of the visible object, the bhavanga vibrates. What is the object of bhavanga? Every consciousness must take one type of object. Without object, consciousness cannot arise. So if idol takes visible object, then what is the object of bhavanga? Bhavanga consciousness take past life object, not this present life. Past life object as object. So bhavanga has its own object. Now, the visible object, the lotus flower, the visible object now impinges the eye sensitivity, cause bhavanga first pass away, then the second bhavanga is called vibrating bhavanga. Why it vibrates? Because bhavanga has its own object. Now the new object has impinged. So, bhavanga start to shake in order to give way to the new type of consciousness. So far, is it clear? Okay. So this bhavanga consciousness, vibrating bhavanga consciousness arises and passes away. No more. Third consciousness is called arrest bhavanga or arresting bhavanga. The bhavanga stream is cut off in order to give rise to idol cognitive process. So this bhavanga consciousness arises and passes away, no more. Then another type of consciousness arises. It's called five door averting consciousness. This consciousness averts the mind towards the sense of visible object as if the mind is inquiring, what is this? So although the name is called five door averting consciousness, but in fact, it's only one type of consciousness that that avert the mind toward the object and ask, what is this object? Start to investigate. If the object is color, then I consciousness will arise. E stand for I consciousness. If the object is sound, then ear consciousness. If the object is tangible, let's say hardness, you touch the table, you feel hard, then body consciousness will arise. So depend on what type of object, the corresponding consciousness will arise. So in our in this case, because the object is lotus, it's visible object, therefore eye consciousness arise. Then passes away, another type of consciousness arise, we call receiving consciousness. Receive the object, the color object. Then it passes away, another type of consciousness arises, is called investigating or investigating consciousness. Investigate the object. Then it passes away, followed by another type of consciousness called determining consciousness. Determine what is this? Determine. Then it passes away, followed by this is the most important in the cognitive process. Javana. J-A-V-A-N-A. Javana. Javana means impulsion or running swiftly. It runs very swiftly to the object in order to apprehend it. Javana. Javana arises for 7 times. It means it arises, passes away, arises, passes away for 7 times. Okay, so the first javana arises, passes away. Another javana arises, passes away. Another javana arises, passes away. 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 7 times. So, in fact, before this javana, we have eye consciousness, receiving consciousness, investigating consciousness, determining consciousness are all different types of consciousness. But for javana, it is the same type of consciousness associated with greed, hatred, and delusion. Or associated with non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. It means at the javana state, the mind start to react to the object. Therefore, javana consciousness is the consciousness that make karma. They make karma. We have 4 types of, according to the nature of consciousness. According to the nature of consciousness, there are 4. Number 1, wholesome consciousness. Number 2, unwholesome consciousness. Number 3, resultant consciousness. And number 4, functional consciousness. Wholesome consciousness and unwholesome consciousness bring forth karma. So in the jhana state, the 7 jhana, J, in the jhana state, either wholesome or unwholesome consciousness will arise. Because at this stage, karma is performed. Okay, after 7 times of Javana, registration consciousness, register what have been seen. We call registering consciousness. It register in the mind. So this type of consciousness arises twice. It passes away, then arises again, then ceases. So at this moment, I, though cognitive process, come to cessation. Finished. No more I, though cognitive process. And yet, what does this I, though cognitive process, sees? It sees what? It sees only color. The color of lotus. It does not know lotus yet. Therefore, in order to see clearly what is this red color, whether it's, you know, a piece of cloth, a flower, or a gift, and so on. In order to see clearly, my door cognitive process must arise. But before my door cognitive process, let's get in between I door and my door. And we already know consciousness cannot stop flowing. Therefore, to maintain the continuity of consciousness, what type of consciousness must arise? Can you answer me? Huh? Bhavanga. Huh? I have just explained to you. Bhavanga consciousness must arise. Therefore, all this B stand for Bhavanga consciousness. So before two cognitive process, Bhavanga consciousness must arise in between. This is the law of consciousness. Okay, now we come to mind or cognitive process. The mind moment is a bit is slightly different from the eye door. Five door consciousness have 17 mind moment or consciousness moment, but for the mind door is different. Only 10, around 10. Okay, let us see one by one. Number one is called vibrating bhavanga. Vibrating bhavanga. The second one, arresting bhavanga, then passes away, followed by mind door averting consciousness. The mind avert to the object. What is that? Okay. Then followed by seven javana, arise and pass away for seven times. It's the same type of consciousness arising and passing away successfully for seven times. Then followed by two registering consciousness. Then the mind door cognitive process stop, finished. Before another mind door cognitive process arises, Bhavanga must arise in between in order to preserve the continuity of existence. So let us see one more time. What is this I-door cognitive process? We have 17 mind movement. And the first three, pasha bhavanga, vibrating bhavanga, and arresting bhavanga, is called process three. And the last 14 mind movement is called actual I-door cognitive process. And in between, and there are seven javanas in the idol Kali Yuga crisis, and this seven jhana involve wholesome and unwholesome karma. So at this moment, when this idol cognitive process come to cessation, the visible object and eye sensitivity perish together with registering consciousness. You mean the color? The color also disappear together with idol cognitive process. You may ask why the color disappear? Because the color is called matter, materiality. Matter lasts for only 17 mind moment. The lifespan of matter last for 17 mind moment. And after I door followed by my door, vibrating bhavanga, arresting bhavanga, my door averting consciousness, and seven jhana, and two registering consciousness. Now, let us see how I door and my door sees and think and apprehend the object. Okay, so first, just now we have talked about I door. When the visible object impinges eye sensitivity, then I door consciousness. Cognitive process arises, sees the color. Then the color, the lifespan of color, stop. So I cannot see anything, no more. But the mind start to work. So the first cognitive process called first mind-door cognitive process. So what? It's the object the mind sees. I sees the color, visible object. Now visible object has perished away, perished. Now what the mind sees? The mind sees past object. You think of what you have seen. Therefore, it's called past object, not present object. So the first mind-door cognitive process only sees past object, which has been apprehended, which has been seen by I consciousness. Now we go to mind consciousness. And the second mind-door cognitive process sees what? It grasping as a whole. If not, it will see the fragment. Now it grasps as a whole. We call grasping as a whole. Then the third mind-door cognitive process sees, try to see the form of it, the form or the shape of the visible object. And followed by fourth mind-door cognitive process. This, the fourth one sees, start to recollect. Oh, what is the name of that object? Or then it start to, it strike his mind, it's called lotus flower. So when everything become clear in your mind, the shape, the color, and the name all now become clear after fourth mind-door cognitive process. then what will happen to you? What will happen to your mind? If your eye sees something, which is first is not clear, then after come clear to your mind, then what will happen to your mind again? Yes.
It goes in subconscious mind.
It goes to subconscious mind, okay. But now, not only go into subconsciousness, it come up, it become active. So what will you do? This happen in your life all the time. You should be able to answer me.
Take action.
Huh? Take action, right? Yes, take action. Take action. Take action doesn't mean bodily you go and do something first. Take action in the mind first. So the mind will react, right? It's called reaction. Sure. Whenever your mind, your eye sees something, when it becomes clear in your mind, the mind sure will react first. Before the speech and the bodily action come into play. So, the mind will react. If that visible object is very agreeable with you, then very pleasant feeling arises in the mind. Let's say a man. A man, when your eye come into contact with beautiful girl, almost immediately you have pleasant feeling, right? Yes or no, man? So this is called reaction of the mind. Almost immediately, this is called reaction of the mind. Similarly, when a woman, when come go for window shopping and see one clothing which she likes very much, then immediately the pleasant feeling arises in her. This is called reaction of the mind. And where is this reaction takes, why it takes place? Because of contact, eye contact. Let's say now we are talking, not say lotus flower, let's say your enemy. When your eye, first you see a person pass through, you don't know who is he or who is she. But after many times mind door connected process and eye door again and again, it is my enemy. You recognize it, he is your enemy. Then immediately unpleasant feeling arises in you. Almost immediately. You cannot prevent it not to arise. So at this time, this is the moment a vipassana practitioner, you know vipassana, insight meditator, insight meditation. If you are a meditator and you practice vipassana meditation, this is the time for you to practice, and this is the time for you to know how much strength of the mind you have developed. Let's say unpleasant feeling or pleasant feeling has arisen in your mind, and because the eyes come to contact with a beautiful girl, so very pleasant feeling arises in your mind. And if you do not aware of this pleasant feeling, what will happen next to your mind? You must be honest to me. What will happen to you next moment? Craving, right? Liking. When it's pleasant feeling, you like it. Therefore, in dependent origination, Buddha said, dependent on contact, feeling arises. dependent on feeling craving. This happened to everyone except Arahan. So it's not something wrong if craving arises in you, right? It's very natural. Therefore, we come to this human world. Our whole life are sustained by this craving. So you don't have to be shameful when craving arises in you. And because we have this craving, anger, which causes us so much suffering. Therefore, we come to practice. Therefore, we learn Vipassana meditation in order to give up all this defiled state of mind that causes us suffering. So at this moment, as Vipassana meditator, what should you do when you have pleasant feeling? When the mind comes to contact with beautiful object, pleasant feeling arises in you. As a Vipassana meditator, you have to apply two mental factors. Number one, mindfulness. Sati, mindfulness. Mindfulness means you aware what is happening at this moment without reaction. So at this moment you know, pleasant feeling has arisen in me. You know. You do not react to the pleasant feeling. This is called mindfulness. But mindfulness alone is not enough to liberation. After you are aware of the pleasant feelings, in order that pleasant feeling will not turn to craving, then you have to contemplate pleasant feeling as impermanent 100 times. If you do not do in this way, pleasant feeling, dependent on pleasant feeling, craving arises. Mind is very fast. You don't even know craving is arise in you. So mind is so fast, then because of craving, and you do not check, you do not stop it, then the craving will intensify, becomes clinging. And when it's strong craving or intense craving in your mind, you've got to take action. You've got to do something to fulfill your craving, your intense craving, which is clinging. Then you got to say something, or your body have to act in order to fulfill your craving. That action is performed in jhana state. That karma is performed at the jhana state, and every karma, when once performed, leave behind karmic energy, and this karmic energy shows that, suppose you throw a ball into wall, the ball will bounce, right? This is karmic energy, the same law. So whatever karmic energy you perform, leave behind the, whatever karma you have performed, it leaves behind karmic energy following your mental stream from one life to another. Never end. So, in order not to react with unwholesome bodily action or verbally speech, at this moment, we have to stop it by way of mindfulness and wisdom. I think we should stop here for today. And for next Saturday, I will talk about what are the resultants when you react with anger, hatred, greed, craving, or when you react with non-greed, loving kindness, compassion, what are the resultant effect will come back to you? So I will talk, I will deal with this one in my next lecture. And many of my students, after listen to all this resultant or effect, they stop doing evil. Many of them give me the feedback. Some of them told me, "I want to become nun now." Now. So if you can have this type of, we call spiritual urgency, then it's very good for you to continue cultivating the good and avoid the evil. As the summary of Buddha's teaching, do good, avoid evil, purify your mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha. Okay, so any question we will, any question you have after lunch, we will discuss. Thank you.